が可愛い。
Oh, hello, 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 and welcome. It is February 1st, 2021. Happy Black History Month in the U.S. And just welcome to the show. It's news to me. It's 1902. So, round about the time. I pretty much, unless I go to all recorded show, we're always going to start around 1900 UTC. We're not quite as, I'm not quite as good as Tobe, who's always reliably at 1930 UTC. So, don't forget about, just, if you need reliability, there you go. You can do that. Anyway, welcome to the show. If you want to chat during the show, go to the Anon Radio Room and com. And I'm sure you can figure out how. Or just listen to the archive. I've said it probably 100 times by now. Alright, so let's get going. Howdy, howdy. Welcome Ratsu and W. Visser and Harry Larry. Tobe and Jazzmaz. Looks like Spring from Iceland is on. So, heck yeah. Thanks so much for being here. We're going to start the show the way we always do.
World news.
That's right. We whirl around our news in a little blender. It sounds like that. It sounds like this.
World news.
Yep, yep, yep. I kind of want to sample Gwildor's key from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe movie. That was a cool sound. That would be a fun sound to have or something. All right. Well, let's get going. First up, let's talk about a coup that happened, not in the United States, but Myanmar, formerly known as Burma. So coming to us from the BBC News, Myanmar coup. So this happened early this morning. Myanmar's military seized power after detaining Aung San Suu Kyi and other democratically elected leaders. Troops are patrolling the streets and a nighttime curfew is in force with a one-year state of emergency declared. U.S. President Joe Biden raised the threat of new sanctions, and the U.N. and U.K. also condemned the coup. The army alleges the recent landslide election win by Ms. Suu Kyi's party was marred by fraud. She urged supporters to protest against the coup. In a letter written in preparation for an impending detention, she said the military's actions would put the country back under a dictatorship. The military's already announced announced replacements for a number of ministers. On the streets of the main city, Yangon, people said they felt their hard-fought battle for democracy had been lost. One 25-year-old resident, who asked not to be named, told the BBC, "Waking up to learn your world has been completely turned upside down overnight was not a new feeling, but a feeling that I thought that we had moved on from, and one that I never thought we'd be forced to feel again." Myanmar, also known as Burma, was ruled by the armed forces until 2011, when democratic reforms, led by Aung San Suu Kyi, ended military rule. Heck yeah. So, she spent nearly 15 years in detention between 1989 and 2010. She was internationally hailed as a beacon of democracy and received the Nobel Peace Prize in 1991. But her international reputation suffered severely following an army crackdown on the mostly Muslim Rohingya minority. Former supporters accused her of refusing to condemn the military or acknowledge accounts of atrocities. So, you can find lots of that news all over the place. This is big news, but I wanted to be sure and mention it here, just in case you're completely isolated from other news somehow, then this is something to be aware of. Now, let's talk about Uganda again. Our good friend Bobby Wine, well, I don't want to say good friend, I'm not sure what his other political views are, but in Uganda, Bobby Wine is in the headlines again. And this comes to us from The Guardian. The Ugandan opposition leader and presidential challenger Bobby Wine has filed a petition at the country's highest court to challenge the re-election of Yoweri Museveni in last month's polls. Wine wants the Supreme Court in Kampala to nullify the victory of Museveni in the January 14th poll. Museveni 76. Yeah, they're rehashing all the same old stories. Basically, Museveni's been in charge since the 80s. He's never had any serious challengers. Bobby Wine's a pop star. and basically he's bringing to court, asking them to nullify the vote and order it a revote, a new vote. So that's what the good quote, or the quote that I thought was the best, was Museveni's quoted as saying, or Museveni dismissed allegations of vote rigging, calling the election the most cheating free since independence from Britain in 1962. So I think that that's a great turn of phrase. So anyway, you can use that whenever somebody asks how you got a good grade. I don't know. You know, this is the most cheating-free test I've ever taken. There's no way. Anyway, just something that I thought was fun. And while we're still in Africa, civilians killed in an Al-Shabaab attack at a hotel in Somalia. Exactly, W. Visser. Now with 1%, now with a certain percentage less cheating. At least three people, including two civilians, were killed in a jihadist attack Sunday on a Mogadishu hotel, a Somali security source said, adding the death toll could rise with assailants still inside. Oh, this is ongoing. The attack began Sunday afternoon when a car bomb exploded at the entrance of Hotel Afrique, located in the center of the Somali capital near the city's airport. Gunmen then stormed the hotel, exchanging fire with security personnel. Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the attack in a brief statement, saying Mujahideen, stormed in an ongoing operation inside Hotel Afrique, where members of the apostate team are stationed. The hotel is frequented by Somali officials, members of the security forces, and community leaders. We believe there are three terrorists trapped inside a room at the downstairs of the main building. But unfortunately, there are still civilians trapped inside in the building, even though many of them, including senior military officials, have been rescued and extracted from the building. Two witnesses said they saw three bodies, two men and a woman. An AFP journalist, of course, this has come to us from France24.com. AFP is their, or this is like the news outlet's abbreviated abbreviation acronym. An AFP journalist reported earlier that Somali soldiers quickly surrounded the hotel and blocked off access to it. So, late Sunday, witnesses said they could still hear sporadic gunfire and explosions. So, this seems pretty wild. These guys were driven out of Mogadishu by government forces backed by 20,000 African Union peacekeepers in 2011, but the group still controls swaths of territory outside the cities from where they launch attacks against government targets, as well as occasionally crossing the border to carry out raids in Kenya. Al-Shabaab has ramped up the intensity of its attack in Kenya in recent years, including several major assaults as far as the capital, Nairobi, which has left nearly 300 dead. Somalia was scheduled to hold indirect parliamentary and presidential elections before February 8th, but the process has been derailed by political disagreements between the central government in Mogadishu and its federal states. So that's all there is to that story. There is a video. It's about, let's see how long it is. If you want to watch it, you have to accept YouTube cookies. So I don't know how long the video is. I would assume that it's probably 3 or 4 minutes long if you want to actually hear it instead of read it. Or just Google search or YouTube, you know, just search. It'll pull up. The BBC also carried that story, and has some additional photos if you are curious what that looks like. It's up to you. They have interesting ambulances. They look like minivans. All right. Hey, Toba's around. Welcome. Greetings. I don't have the synthesizer noise to say hello. Where is it? No, that's not a good one. Maybe. That's what, I don't know. I don't have a good robot sound. Sorry. Or a synthesizer sound for the beeps and boops. Tobe has the best samples. If you like cool sample sounds, like if you want to hear an electronic beat with a greasy mess in it, he's got you covered. All right, let's jump over to Australia real quick. This is from our friends at the World Socialist website. It's wsws.org. Whiskey Sierra, Whiskey Sierra. I know I have an accent, so sometimes people don't understand. All right, so worker at the Coles supermarket, not Coles like in the U.S., the K-H-O-L-S. In Australia, it's Coles, C-O-L-E-S, Charlie Oscar Lima Echo Sierra. So, worker at the Coles supermarket distribution center at Heathwood in southern Brisbane are opposed to the looming closure of their warehouse, just like their fellow Coles warehouse workers at Sydney's Smeaton Grange facility in the north-southwest. Is that what NSW is? No. I don't remember. Welcome, exiled. Welcome. So they are angry that the United Workers Union, which covers warehouse workers nationally, has told them nothing about the two-month lockout of workers at Smeaton Grange and has accepted the Heathwood closure as well. Speaking to a WSWS reporting team yesterday, workers also voiced outrage at the speed-up, harassment, and victimization of their counterparts at the Heathwood warehouse as Coles management seeks to suppress all opposition to its restructuring plans. The workers' comments underscore the fact that the Smeaton Grange closure is part of a wider program by Coles nationally to replace its existing warehouses with larger and more automated facilities, destroying thousands of jobs in the process. Just like the Coles warehouse workers in Melbourne who face similar closures, the union, which is abbreviated UWU, United Workers Union, is trying to block information from reaching the Brisbane workers about the struggle at Smeaton Grange, in order to isolate the locked-out workers. With the agreement of the UWU, Coles plans to shut the Heathwood warehouse by next year in order to open a vast new plant it's currently rebuilding at Redbank in Brisbane's west near the city's major Australia Post mail and parcel delivery facility. I keep wanting to call it UWU. The UWU plans to enforce the Heathwood closure, ending the jobs of hundreds of workers. This highlights how much is at stake in defeating the union's attempt to help the company ram through a ballot this week to sell out the struggle of the Smeaton Grange workers. An estimated 1,000 workers are employed at the Heathwood facility and a related nearby warehouse, and all could lose their jobs. The WSWS team distributed copies of the Socialist Equality Party's January 27th statement calling for a no vote in this week's ballot in order to reject the... the UWU's betrayal at Smeaton Grange as the first step towards launching an independent struggle in defense of all jobs and against the closures. Only one Brisbane worker to whom the WSWS reporter spoke had been told anything about the Smeaton Grange lockout. That worker said he only knew about the struggle at Smeaton Grange because of a brief notice on a bulletin board. Each of the workers who spoke to the WSWS reporters wished to remain anonymous for fear of company retaliation. They're concerned that Coles workers across the country were equally being kept in the dark about what's happening to them in Brisbane. It goes on for a while here, detailing the different people they talk to. But it is definitely something, one of the things that the World Socialist website does a lot is they cover a lot of strikes and workers' struggles, and I really like it. Labor Notes, I used to read a lot of Labor Notes stories, but they don't update their stories that often. And when they do big, long pieces. But World Socialist website is more like a traditional news outlet with regular stories that are, 10 minutes long or less to read. So anyway, you might want to check it out. Definitely want to say I always support the workers whenever there are strikes like this. So good luck. So, hello X1, hello, welcome, hello BNR, welcome, welcome. You know, we'll start the show the way we always do.
World news.
Does that help X1? it is 19:16 UTC, which means we've got about 13 minutes and some change to go. So let's cover a little bit of COVID stuff. And then we'll play a song. Alright, first thing. More contagious mutation causes half of new Dutch virus cases. The coronavirus mutation, first detected in Britain, caused half of all new infections in the Netherlands by January 26th. Dutch Health Minister Hugo de Jong... Is it Jongi? Or Jong? Anyway, Hugo de Jong said on Monday. Hugo de Jong. I put it in com because I'm not sure. Last week, health authorities said the new, more contagious variant was responsible for around a third of all new infections in the Netherlands. The British mutation, in quotes, was seen to be almost 50% more contagious than the older variant, based on calculations up until January 14th. De Jong wrote in a letter to Parliament, "The Dutch government has repeatedly warned that new mutations could lead to a new wave of infections in the coming weeks, despite a steady drop in the number of COVID-19 cases since the start of the year." To stop the spread of new mutations, a nighttime curfew was added to an already broad lockdown last week. But in a first step toward easing measures, the government on Sunday decided to reopen primary schools as of next week, as young children were still seen to be playing only a marginal role in the transmission of the disease. Dutch media on Monday reported that the government was also considering scrapping the curfew early next week. On Monday, the number of new coronavirus infections in the Netherlands dropped to its lowest in 4 months at 3,280. Exiled suggests that politician whose name I was reading here is Huge Dong, and it made me laugh quite a bit. Anyway, since the start of the pandemic, almost 1 million coronavirus infections in the Netherlands have been reported, with over 14,000 deaths. Let's just go over here. And we'll just go. Sorry, I was typing in a URL because I wanted to be sure I get this right. Here we go. Alrighty. Next we go EU and AstraZeneca in step forward on vaccines. Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said it was a step forward, but the 40 million doses now expected are still only about half of what had been hoped amid continuing supply problems. The Commission has been involved in a much criticized row with both the UK and AstraZeneca this week. In particular, it was condemned over its threat to put checks on the Northern Ireland border to prevent vaccines produced in the EU from reaching the UK. The border was one of the most difficult problems to overcome in the recently agreed Brexit deal following the UK's departure from the EU. The EU was angry that Britain was getting its UK-made contracted supplies from AstraZeneca while it suffered a shortfall, so the bloc announced it was introducing export controls on... Sorry, I'm getting distracted. Overcome recently, blah. The EU was angry because they were making the vaccine in the UK and they hadn't cut supplies there. So that was kind of the problem. The Brexit deal ensures there are no obstacles to trade between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland. So in a tweet, Twitter. I don't like Twitter being a medium of the government. Anyway, in a tweet, Ms. von der Leyen said AstraZeneca could deliver 9 million additional doses in the first quarter, 40 million in total, compared to last week's offer, and will start deliveries 1 week earlier than scheduled. She said this represented a 30% increase of the previous amount. Irish broadcaster RTE, that's Romeo Tango Echo, is reporting that the country will get another 100,000 doses as a result. The EU signed a deal in August for 300 million AstraZeneca doses with an option for 100 million more. Doses! The way I say doses is apparently very, very tainted from Texas. I don't know. Anyway. So there's hope that the EU will have enough vaccines, or at least have a significant quantity more than they were going to. But that's not stopping Germany. Germany's considering Russian and Chinese vaccines to boost COVID inoculation drive. Germany should use the Russian and Chinese corona vaccines if they win EU approval, the health minister said. As like to kiss you. About Jens Spahn said that if a vaccine can be considered safe and effective, regardless of what country it has been produced in, then it could help. I don't want to. Sure to accelerate Germany's vaccine program, which has seen 2 million people receive the jab so far, compared with more than 10 million in the UK, although Germany has now given more people second doses than Britain. So, very interesting indeed. Welcome, Sin. Thank you for tuning in and joining in. We've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope coming up in just 7-8 minutes now. We kind of missed the song period because I was talking, so sorry about that. We've got so much news, though. It's news you can use. So much world news.
World news.
But check it out. Taiwan is being very generous. They've decided to waive the COVID quarantine fine for a man who was kidnapped. A Taiwanese man, penalized for breaching COVID quarantine regulations, has had his fine revoked after it emerged.
World.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Then was arrested and fined 100,000 new Taiwan dollars, which is about 2,600 pounds, for breaching the regulations. The Justice Ministry said Chen's explanation had been investigated and confirmed, and that his fine had been revoked because he'd been forced to leave quarantine against his will. The violation of the quarantine regulation was not caused by his own intentional or negligent behavior.
Went to, anyway, I'm kind of pissed off now. It's kind of, Tobe knows this frustration. It takes a lot of effort to put together a show. And then I connected at 2 o'clock, 1900, maybe a few seconds later than 1900. My computer said I was connected. But then, alas, I was not. And then when I disconnected and reconnected, it did not pick up either. Then when I quit everything and started back up, now it looks like I'm going out. But anyway, please continue enjoying the old show. I'll post the link to the news that I collected and told to nobody. But it's just so frustrating. It feels like there's no support for non-radio. I just don't get it. Anyway, bye.
Student for, maybe I missed it, and Kristen Uni have long lobbied for the closure of the windows. Yeah. They're going to basically, it sounds like, they're going to build, like, a brothel prostitution like mall for all the sex workers to operate out of, I guess. There was a I haven't been there, but all my friends for the company we work at, everyone always stays at the same hotel when they visit Singapore, and when they do, you have to walk past this other large hotel where all the sex workers are. And it was like, that's what I picture when we're talking about this. It's going to just be a large destination for any sex tourism. Sorry, I got kind of side. I got a little... COVID stuff is really hard on your brain. And so it just messes with me a little bit. So sometimes it's a little harder to jump gears or change around. Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, is doing well in his recovery from COVID-19. Olga Sanchez added that the president is expected to return to a regular morning news conference next Monday. He's 67 years old and had announced he tested positive last Sunday, adding that his symptoms were mild and he was optimistic about his diagnosis. So, that's a good little bit of news from Mexico. And just a quick roundup. If there's anything else needed to know. Nope. All right. It's time to do the U.S. stuff or do a couple of headlines. Labrador. Tobe is warning that today's dubious goals committee might suck, but, you know, it happens every day at 1930 UTC, has for years, so if you don't like it, you know, hold your breath, and then if you fall asleep when you wake up, it'll be a new day, new DGC. It'll be great. Anyway, let's talk for a couple of minutes more. Oh, yeah. First up, Facebook to prompt users about personalized ads ahead of Apple's privacy changes. Facebook Inc. said in a blog post Monday, it will begin rolling out a notification for iPhone users globally about how data is used for personalization ads. In an attempt to get ahead of upcoming Apple Inc. privacy changes that Facebook says it will hurt its advertising business. The full screen prompt will ask Facebook and Instagram users to allow their app and website activity to be used for personalized ads and to support businesses that rely on ads to reach users. Boo. Hoo. Hoo. Anyway, hopefully they burn to the ground. Tony Bennett has revealed he has Alzheimer's, so if you remember or like Tony Bennett's music, it's a bit of a sad headline to find out about. And sexual misconduct has prompted another Alaska Attorney General to resign. We may have covered that briefly before. And what else? Oh, well, shucks. I lost my bookmark. The page cannot be found. We're sorry. This page... We couldn't find this page. We're sorry. The page request is unavailable. Let me see if I can grab our COVID stats real quick for Austin, because it is pretty awful. Do-do-do-do-do. It is austintexas.gov/COVID-19. Do-do-do. Here's our dashboards. Hey, we've only got about 45 seconds to go. Ah! 502 gateway error. Rude. How am I supposed to get information? Here we go. Boom. COVID-19 surveillance dashboard. Hurry, hurry. We must hurry. All right, here we go. We've got 514 people hospitalized, 153 in the ICU, 99 people on ventilators, and 46 people are in the alternative care site, which is like the emergency overflow hospital thing. All right. Well, stay clean. Hope you don't get COVID. Hope you stay.
PM Central, 2 o'clock UK time, and you will hear Mystery Monday, Western Wednesday, Thriller Thursday.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy! Hello, hello, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is Monday, November the 14th, 2022. And it is 19, as I just said, it's 1900 UTC. Thanks to U.S. time, it's an hour earlier for me, so I am not on the roof, at least not today. I'm going to try and, I've been trying to shuffle my schedule around. I think we're almost there. I think tomorrow I'll be all set to do it from the roof again. All right, well, there's a lot of news going on. And I've got to dig through my backups to try and find my audio files, because I really don't like not having my sound effects.